We're doing the Ein Yaakov, and we're up to the sixth chapter of Brachot, Daf Lamed Hei in the Gemara. In the Ein Yaakov, the standard editions, it's page Ein Aleph. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in the name Rabbi Yonatan, Minayin Shenomerim Shira Eleh Al Hayayin. How do we know that in the temple they would only sing songs, the Levites would only sing song over the libation of wine? Shneimal, the verse says, in the famous mashal, allegory of Yosam, the different trees speak to one another, and the grapevine says, when they offer her a position to be king over the other trees, the grapevine says, how could I go and be king over the rest of the trees? Have I ceased to give my great bounty that makes happiness before God and man? Im anashim yisameach, if wine gives happiness to humanity, Elokim b'mam sameach, how does wine give happiness before God? But rather, this verse is indicative of this concept. Mikan she'en omerim shira ela al hayayin. From here we derive that we don't sing praise before God in the temple. The Levites would not sing praise over any other part of the sacrifice other than the libation of wine. And that's why the grapevine in this verse says, I still have what to do in this world. I give happiness before man when human beings drink wine, and before God when people sing before God over the libation of wine. Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa says like this: Asur la'adam shiyene min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. The human being is prohibited from deriving pleasure from this world without giving a blessing. V'chol ha'neineh min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha, and whoever enjoys something from this world without first giving a blessing to God, ma'al, it's considered as though he stole from heaven. Ma'ita kante, how does he fix this? Yelech etzel talmid chacham. Let him go to a rabbi. Yelech etzel talmid chacham, ma'yavid lei. The Gemara says, what do you mean? You go to a rabbi, how could the rabbi help you? Ha'avid lei isura. You already did something prohibited. What can the rabbi do? Ela amarava, but rather what is Rava says, what the Braisa means is, Yelech etzel chacham meikara, go to the rabbi initially, vilamdenu brachot, so that he teaches you the blessings, kidei shelo yavo lidei meila, so that he won't come to a situation where he stole from above, so to speak. What's the idea here? So, the truth is that there's a deep concept behind the brachas we make. The Rashba, he was chief rabbi in Barcelona in Spain, after his Rebbe Nachmanides, the Ramban. So he explains the following. When we make a blessing over a fruit or any other thing that we enjoy in this world, what we are indicating is that we recognize that God runs over the world. Meaning we recognize that there are natural causes in the world. There's earth that produces better fruits, there are lands that produce better fruits, there are years where you have better rains and that produces better fruits, you need a certain amount of sun to produce better fruits. And so a person could look at all the natural causes of the bounty that we have, and a person can attribute the joy that he has, and he could say, ah, I can tell the tomatoes are delicious this year because we had great rain. I could tell the tomatoes are delicious because this year there was great sun. A person can attribute the joy that he has from the worldly things to the worldly causes, and those causes really exist. And when we make a blessing, what we recognize is that the reason behind all those worldly causes, the cause behind the causes, is God. And we're recognizing that Hashem runs the world. That's really what we're doing when we're making a blessing. When a person takes a fruit and he just enjoys the luscious fruit that he's eating, so then he's connecting to nature, but he's not connecting to God. When a person makes a blessing, then he brings God into the picture. He says, I recognize God. You gave me this delicious fruit. You made this fruit the way it is. Any pleasure that a person derives in this world has the natural causes behind it. And then there's the cause behind the causes, which is God. And in making a blessing, we are bringing God into the picture. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was one of the disciples of Shmuel. Shmuel was one of the rabbis in the Talmud, the first generation rabbis. Rav and Shmuel, they were both first generation. Rav was a disciple of Rebbe. Shmuel was a world-renowned doctor. He lived in the city of Nahardoa. Shmuel was also a tremendous astronomer. Shmuel was one of the rabbis of the Talmud. He was a contemporary of Rav. And Shmuel said, I know the skies as well as I know all the streets in Nahardah. Just like I know every shortcut in Nahardah, because he was a doctor. Sometimes he'd get a call in the middle of the night. He had to know the quickest way to get to the guy's house. By the same token, Shmuel says, I know the stars. He knew how to look up at the sky and tell you a lot of things about the stars. Shmuel was Rebbe's doctor, and Rebbe wanted to give him smicha. Rebbe once had a very difficult eye infection, and Shmuel gave him medicine. He said, put this on your eye. Rebbe said, no, my eye is too painful, I can't do it. Shmuel said, okay, put it around your eye. Rebbe says, no, it hurts too much, I can't do that either. Shmuel says, okay, put it on your pillow. So he says, no, I still can't do it. He said, okay, I'll give you the salve, put it under your pillow, and I'll make it potent so that it'll seep through your pillow and into your eye. And then Shmuel did that, and he was able to cure him. Shmuel could taste the waters and tell you what earth was mixed into the waters at that time and what it was a good cure for. Shmuel was a tremendous doctor. So now we have a quote from one of Shmuel's big disciples, Rav Yehuda, not to be confused with the many Tanoim who were called Rebbe Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, the rabbis in Babylon were given the title Rav. The rabbis in Israel that were able to attain smicha were called Rebbe. So Rav Yehuda in Babylon, the disciple of Shmuel, quoted the following. Kol anene min ha'olam hazeh v'lo b'racham. Whoever derives benefit from this world without giving a blessing, ke'ilu ne'ne mikotchei shamayim. We turn the page. We're on the top line on page 142, the final alpha med base. A person who enjoys this world without giving a blessing, it's as though he himself enjoyed from holy things of heavens. Shene'emav, because the verse identifies the world as la Hashem ha'aretz umlo'a. God owns earth and everything upon it. So if you take something from God, it's as though you're stealing from heavens. Rabbi Levi Rami. Rabbi Levi asked the following question. Now, Rabbi Levi was also of that generation, also a disciple of, that's Levi. This is Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi asked the following contradiction. Ktiv, one verse says, Lashem ha'aretz umlo'a. God owns the earth and everything upon it. Vechtiv, and an alternate verse says, Hashamayim shamayim Lashem, God controls the heavens, v'aretz natan livnei adam, and he gave earth over to mankind. So which one is it? Does God retain ownership over everything on earth, or has he given it over to us? One verse says it's all his, the other verse says he's given it to us. Lo kasha, the seeming contradiction is not difficult. Kan kodem bracha, kan lachar bracha. It depends on whether it's before a blessing or after a blessing. Technically we say God created everything in his own honor. And if you just take a fruit and you take it for your own pleasure, so then God says, wait a second, that was mine. The verse says, God created everything in his honor. But if you take that fruit and it's a vehicle for honoring God, through the fruit you look at it and you say, God, thank you, what a beautiful fruit you created. You make a blessing. So now that fruit is also a vehicle of honoring God. And through that, we enjoy it. And if you think about it, it's two types of lives a person can lead. And one, a person is like every other creature on the planet, and he's just enjoying the food that's down on earth. In the other, a person is living a life where he's living a life connected to God. And so when he takes a fruit to eat, God is there at the table. He's talking to God. I have a difficulty on Shabbos. I miss my davening on Shabbos. You know, on Shabbos there's very little conversation with God, if you think about it. You know, the davening on Shabbos is about the sacrifices, it's about the beautiful Shabbos, but I have a lot of things I like talking to God about. And all week long, I look forward to the moments of prayer when I could stand in conversation with my Creator. And on Shabbos, if you look at it, you can't add your own requests. You're basically you're bound to the form that Chazal set, and that form doesn't include too much about our own lives. If you look at the prayers of Shabbos, so for a while this bothered me until I realized that I know in the Shemoneh Esrei there are places where
I'm just saying God the seventh day wants to rest.
right? He wants a break from us too, right? So I don't think that's the idea. I think we, Chazal said it's us that have to break away. We have to be free.
It's given the freedom of choice.
But it dawned upon me that in the blessings, we really have a lot of our daily lives. You know, if you look at the Birkat HaMazon, we say a whole lot. It's almost like a Shmoneh Esrei, so we don't add our own personal requests, but we talk about our sustenance, and we talk about our health, and we talk about the land of Israel. You know, when things are burning in the world, when you see the Obama administration pushing Netanyahu, and you're wondering what's going to be with Jerusalem. So come Shabbos, you tell yourself, okay, now I have to focus on Shabbos. But it's hard for me not to talk to God about what's bothering me in my heart. But then I open the Nodelecha and the Rachem, and I say, okay, I have it in my blessings of Shabbos. I'm not making direct requests, but Rachem, I am saying, Hashem, have mercy on Zion, on Jerusalem, on the things that are really close to my heart. So, in a sense, we have another opportunity to bring God to our lives. Sometimes we view it as when we walk into shul, when we walk and we stand in Shmoneh Esrei, that's when I talk to God. And if we'd only pause and think before we make our blessings, we would recognize that really we have those moments of light throughout our day. We could. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Kol ha-neinim na'olam hazeh v'lo bracha, kilu gozel ha-kadosh baruch hu v'chneset Yisrael. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa taught, whoever enjoys this world without a blessing, it's as though he steals from God and the Jewish people. We have on tradition that when people don't make blessings over food, so then God says, okay, so then the food is just about food, so I'll leave the food to be just about food, and God takes away some of the flavor of the food. So God makes the food be less tasty, and then less tasty, and less. So if a person is a flagrant violator, he enjoys the world without blessing, our sages say that he's stealing from God, so to speak, because God said, I've only given you this food if you eat it in a way that you recognize I'm involved with it, if you honor me through this food. And he's also stealing from the people of Israel, because now everyone's going to have food that's less delicious. Shenemar, as the verse says, Gozel aviv v'imo v'omer ein pasha. He steals from his father, his mother, and he says, there's nothing wrong with that. Chaver ulish mashchit. He is like a friend to the man who is a destructive human being. How does this verse indicate that? So Aviv, when the verse says he steals from his father, Zakadosh Bahu, that's a reference to God. Shneimar, as we find in the end of the Torah, Moshe tells the Jewish people, God is Halohu Avicha Kanecha. God is your father. He's the one that created you. He fathered you into a nation. So God is referred to as our father. Ve'en imo laknest Yisrael, and imo, our mother, that's a reference to the Jewish people. Throughout Tanakh, we often find that Ima, mother, is a reference to Uma, the nation. Ima and Uma are almost interchangeable in Tanakh. Shenemar, the verse says, Shema b'ni Musar Avicha. Listen to what your father teaches you, the verse says in Mishlei. That's a reference to God's teaching, the Torah. Ve'al titosh Torat Imecha. And do not forsake the customs, the Torah, of your mother, your nation. Go with the customs of the Jewish people, even the things that are not written in the Torah. You got to stick to the customs. So here you see that the word imecha, your mother, can refer to your people. The verse says, he who steals from God, so to speak, and steals from his people, and then he says there's nothing wrong with that, so then he causes other people to also eat without blessings. It's like if you take a carrot and you eat it without a blessing. So the guy next to you is going to say, don't you have to make a blessing? You'll say, I thought a blessing. So halachically, that doesn't work. You got to mouth the blessing. You have to at least move your lips. But I remember once where I saw one guy doing this, and then his friend heard from him, I thought the blessing. So he started thinking blessings and then started spraying like wildfire. It's very nice to think a blessing and just eat your carrots. But that's not a blessing. A blessing has to be at least the lips have to move. The correct way of making a blessing is where you hear what you said. So the verse concludes and says, he who does this is a friend to the destructive person. May chaveru lish mashchit. What does it mean he's a friend to the destructive person? Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, so Rabbi Chanina bar Papa finished off by explaining he's a friend to the one who was probably the most destructive Jew in Jewish history. Who was that? The person who caused the worst Holocaust in Jewish history, probably. That was Yeravam ben Nevat, the first king of the northern 10 tribes. He caused the Jews to become pagans, the 10 tribes, which ultimately led to the Holocaust of the northern 10 tribes, which was probably quite possibly the biggest Holocaust in Jewish history. So, Amar Bichanina Bar Papa, when the verse says he's a friend to that destructive person, that's a reference to Chaveru LeYerovam ben Nevat. He's equated, he's like a friend of Yeravam ben Nevat, that he destroyed the Jewish people before their father in heaven, that he destroyed our connection. And so too, when a person doesn't make a blessing, we said the blessing is the recognition that God is running the world. And when a person eats his food without blessings, he's causing others to also lose touch with this concept that God is the one running the world. And that goes hand in hand with what Yeravam ben Nevat did, where he led the Jews to idol worship and led them away from the recognition that God is the one running the world. Being that we began with quotes from Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, the Gemara continues with a very important conversation, which we'll have to learn part of it this week and part of it next week. We have another 10 minutes till Arvit, right? Arvit is at 1:45 now, right?
1:45.
1:45. Okay. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Rami. So Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa asked another contradiction. K'tiv, the verse says in Hosea, V'lakachti d'gani v'ito. God says, being that you don't recognize that I run the world, being that you assume it's all down to the laws of nature, God says to the northern 10 tribes, okay, so I'll leave it to the laws of nature, and when the time comes for you to harvest your crops, they won't be there. And I'll take your grapes when the time comes. I'll make sure that all of nature will work against you. I'll leave you to the forces of nature. So one verse seems to say that God's taking it back. V'chtiv, and an alternate verse says, V'asafta d'ganecha v'tiroshecha v'yitzarecha. You will collect your crops in their proper time. So which one is it? Lo kasha. It's not a contradiction. Kan bizman sheYisrael osim rotzono shel makom. When we do the will of the omnipresent, then we'll collect the fruit in their proper time. Kan bizman she'en Yisrael osim rotzono shel makom. And when we don't, so then God says, okay, I'll take it back. The Braisa focuses on these psukim. The pasuk says, "Vasafta deganecha," you will collect your crops. Ma Talmud lomar, what's the pasuk coming to tell me? We say it in Shema, right? Vasafta deganecha v'tirosha v'yitzarecha. Yeah, we say it in Shema every day. So the question is, what's the pasuk telling us? Are we really supposed to be busy collecting our crops? Lefi she'nemar lo imush sefer Torah ze mipicha, being that God tells the Jewish people, you should never stop learning Torah. The Torah should never leave your mouths. Yachol v'im kichtavan. You might think the Torah means never stop learning. So you never stop learning. You never plant. You never harvest. You never get food. Talmud lomar. That's why the pasuk had to say, "V'asafta deganecha." Go out there and collect your crops. Hanheg be'minag derech eretz. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael explains that the Torah wanted us to do Torah v'avodah, to balance the two out. That's why the verse describes a time of blessing as a time where you go and harvest your crops. So you take the time to make a parnasa. That's how Rabbi Yishmael explained the verses. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai omer, but Rashbi disagrees. If shar adam choresh b'shat harisha, can it be that a person will go out and plow during the winter months when you have to plow? V'zorea b'shat zriya, and then later on in the winter months he plants so that the rain will cause them to grow. V'kotzer b'shat tzira, and then in the summer months he harvests, and then in the autumn months v'dash b'shat tisha, he threshes. V'zore and he winnows b'shat haruach, when there's wind. Torah matei aleha. When's anyone ever going to learn Torah? There's a lot of work out there. Look at the farmers; they're busy. It's a full time job. If you're going to understand these psukim literally, that you're supposed to actually collect your harvest the way you say, Rabbi Yishmael, what's ever going to be with the Torah? Ela, but rather, bizman sheYisrael osim rotzono shel makom, when the Jewish people do the will of the omnipresent, melachta naset al yedei acharim. God says, I'll let other people do the work for you. You won't have to be out there doing the dirty work. Shneimar, the verse says, v'amdu zarim ra'utzon lachem. There'll be strangers out there, there'll be foreigners, they will shepherd your sheep. So here you see the idea of bringing in foreign labor. The Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, the blessing is, when we do the will of God, there'll be foreigners who will be watching our sheep, because foreigners can't mean Jews, because then those Jews, what's going to be with their Torah? So obviously this means foreigners. Uvizman she'en Yisrael osim ritzono shel makom, and when the Jews do not do the will of the omnipresent, melachtan aset el da'atzman, then they do their own work. So then he looks at the verse that says, you will harvest your crops not as a blessing. It's a blessing when we're not up to par, when we're not on the level we should be. Shneimal, the verse says, v'asafta diganecha, you yourself will collect your crops. Ve'lo od, not only that, but when the Jews don't live up to what they're supposed to do, ela shemlecht achirim naset al yadam, then they find themselves having to do other people's work. Shneimal, v'avatat oyvecha, part of the curses are that if the Jewish people don't do what they're supposed to, they'll end up working for the enemy. And then they for sure won't have time to learn Torah. So Rabbi Shmuel says, the ideal is partition your time, Torah and work. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no. You try to learn Torah as much as you can. And then if you live up to what you should, then things will work out. Amar Abaye. Abaye comes generations later and says, Harbe asuk Rabbi Shmuel v'al tabi adam. Many people did it like Rabbi Ishmael, where they took time to work and took time to learn, and it worked out, and they were able to do both. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and then there were many people who tried to do it like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, to only learn Torah, and it didn't work out for them. Things didn't work out well. So, we're in the middle of a conversation here. Over here, there's a Tosfos HaRosh that discusses the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. We have a Mishnah that says, Yafet Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz. Right? The Mishnah in the beginning of the second chapter, I think. Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. And we have a question that's a machlokas rishonim throughout the Shas. Whenever we have the word im, with, which is the primary and which is the secondary? Which is the one that's being added on? When we say pastrami and cheese, okay, we don't say that, right? When we say bagel and lox, so the lox is the secondary, you have a bagel with lox. You don't say you have lox with a bagel. So in English, it's pretty obvious that the first one is the primary and the second one is the secondary. Yeah? In Hebrew, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas and tosis. So when the Mishnah says you should do Torah with derech eretz, with work, which one is the prime? Is the Mishnah saying, do Torah, and also put in some work on the side? Or is the Mishnah telling you, do work, and also make sure to stick in some Torah? Which one is the Mishnah telling us? Obviously, we try to get as much Torah as we can into the day. The question is, which one is the Mishnah coming to teach us also? Which is the Chidush? Meaning, where was my starting point? Which one did the Mishnah have to teach me? Was I assuming you work all day, and the Mishnah had to tell me, add Torah to your work? Or was I assuming you learn all day, and the Mishnah was telling me, add work to your Torah? Well, that would be the Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yishmael. Now, all of this is in their day and age. The Rama writes, in our day and age, we've seen that those who try to balance the two don't end up being Torah giants. It doesn't work anymore. We're not up to that level. Amalu Rava l'Rabbanan. Rava told his students, "B'matuta minaychu, I beg you, Delotetu kamai, I don't want to see you before me. Don't come learn Torah. Lo biyomei Nisan, lo biyomei Tishrei. Not in the month of Nisan, nor in the month of Tishrei. The month of Nisan, everyone's harvesting. The month of Tishrei, everyone's pressing their olives and their wines. You guys could find easy work during those 2 months. Take off those 2 months, and you'll make enough money to learn the rest of the year. Do me a favor," Rava would tell his students. "Don't come learn during those 2 months. If you take those 2 months, you could learn the rest of the year." And that's the idea of Bein Hazman. And why do we give 2 months off? You guys go out there, make enough money to learn the rest of the year. When you're bachelors and you don't have so many expenses, so you could do that. And that's what Rava told his students. I think we have to pause here. Pick up here, Bezachem, next week.